What is up, and welcome to the Pasta Physique Podcast, a place where we give you the tools to align your body, mind, and soul so you can create a life you're obsessed with.
We're your hosts, Jen and James, and we manifested our dream life here in Italy, where we eat pasta, lift weights, swim in the sea, and enjoy wine with dinner. It's all about balance.
We are on a mission to help you feel empowered to take messy action on your journey. Want to join us? Let's dive right in.
Welcome back to the Pasta Physique Podcast. You got Jen and I coming at you today with an amazing guest, Amy Sciaretta. How are you?
Hi, guys. I'm great. How are you?
Good. Very good.
So good, and so happy to welcome Amy to the podcast. You can find Amy at Lemons and Labels with an underscore on Instagram, and I'll link everything in the show notes. But Amy is a travel stylist, which is so cool, with a decade in the fashion industry from the New York market to Milan Fashion Week, helping travelers look and feel their best for their Italian escapades and other big moments in their lives, which I love that.
Yeah, that's fun.
So Amy is currently teaching English, and she is styling between Connecticut and Rome while working on her Italian citizenship. Her biggest goal is not only make people look good, but also feel amazing in their own bodies, which is like so our vibe. That is what we are all about here. So
yes, absolutely.
Wow. What an introduction. Wow. Thank you, guys.
Did I get that right with Milan Fashion Week?
Yes. I'm sorry. I should have written that out.
My fashion sense is pretty much like beige and black. So I feel pretty proud of myself that I got Milan Fashion Week.
I mean, neutrals and, you know, the beige, that's very Hailey Bieber, very chic.
Oh, love that. Yes, that's the vibe.
I'm the stylish one, Amy, out of the two of us.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I love to hear it.
I mean, I can't really talk fashion, but, you know, I like to be kind of eye-grabbing a little bit, you know?
You're pretty dapper. Yeah.
I mean, reasonably when you live in Rome, it's, you know, makes sense.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Italy, we know that you're a lover of Italy, and it plays a major role in your life and business. So, like, why exactly is Italy such an amazing place, and how has it kind of shifted your perspective on beauty?
Wow, what a great question. I mean, I think Italy is sort of infamous for kind of captivating anyone that goes there, even just for the first time.
So true.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like
us.
Yeah, like you stayed. So I think it kind of just has this magic spell. Not just the Trevi alone, but kind of makes you fall in love, even at first sight. So my grandmother grew up in Italy, and I was very close with her. And when an opportunity to study abroad in Italy came up, I jumped on that and I fell in love. It worked its magic. And I've been going back ever since. So that's when my love affair, so to speak, with Italy sort of began.
That's how it works, isn't it? Like Italy, you visit and then it just absolutely, like, it's just captivating.
Exactly.
I was curious, where's your grandmother from?
She is from such a small town that it's sometimes not even on a map.
Amazing.
It's in Lazio and it's really close to Formia, Scaudi, Minturno.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, in that sort of area. But it's called Caran.
Very cool.
So, I mean, obviously your Instagram handle is Lemons and Labels. I'm assuming the lemons is influenced by Italy.
Yes, exactly. And okay, Amy, a little obvious. But it came from when I had such a crazy, crazy cool experience. I was an au pair so many years ago. And I was very, very lucky to work for a family that lived in Capri, Anna Capri, oh, right at the top.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Yeah, the kindest people, true Caprese, born and raised on the island.
So you actually like lived on the island for a period of time?
Yes.
Oh my God, like what a dream. How long were you there?
For one summer.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was. I can't even, just like photos don't do justice to anywhere in Italy. It's really hard to explain how, you know, island life alone is just different from Italian life too, which adds another facet to the experience. But the family I was working for, they lived right next to a lemon grove.
Wow.
So can you imagine the summer, you know, it's hot and you get that wind, a scent of lemon and citrus. It was magical.
So has that, like, you know how you have those summers that are just like, it kind of shifts everything for the rest of your life. Was that that summer for you?
I think so. I mean, I think it started before that, but this summer was 2016. And you know, as Drake says, summer 16 is a crazy one.
So. Yeah.
I think it did have a hold on me for sure.
That's awesome. I've got to be honest with you, and I'm almost borderline embarrassed to say this.
What?
But Jen and I have never been there.
No, we haven't.
It's happened.
Mm-mm. No. I mean, we've been to Amalfi so many times. We've been to Procida. We've been to Ischia, like, you know, islands close in that area, but we've never been to Capri.
I mean, I've heard that a lot from a lot of Italians, even. I think a bad, okay, maybe justified rep for being just overly priced, overly touristy. You know, you have anyone from the Kardashians to Jennifer Lopez, you know, stopping off their yachts to go to Capri. But where I worked, what I experienced was kind of more of a local
yeah.
experience, you know, because Capri is just such, it's not an easy vacation.
No, yeah.
You have three levels, and to get to each level, you either wait on a bus line, which is super long, and the bus is an experience on its own.
I remember sure if it's is, anything yeah. like the bus that is in like the Positano that goes along the Amalfi coast.
Yes.
Oof. Like if you know, you know.
Yeah. But I highly recommend if you go to staying in Anacapri, mm-hmm. which is the top of the islands, you can see the beautiful Faro Lighthouse and just Mount Salerno, which is the incredible views. So you can have a local experience on this super touristy island, I promise.
I feel so terrible because when you said that, you know, you stay there with a family that lives there, and this is how ignorant I am about the island, is I literally thought to myself, like, wow, people live there all year round? Like,
yes. It's not a crazy thing because everyone asked me, so where do they live, you know, in the off season?
There.
Well, that's awesome. You know, Jen and I have been a lot of places, especially here in Italy. And, you know, it's not too often that someone has done or experienced something that we haven't. But I'm super jealous right now. Like, I'm super jealous of you.
You have to go. I think definitely maybe end of September. First week of October before they close.
Yeah, those end of season vibes.
Yeah.
Where, now speaking of Italy travel, and maybe the answer isn't in Italy, but I have a feeling it might be. Where would you say that your like favorite place that you have visited has been?
Gosh, I'm embarrassed to say, I'm ashamed now to say that I think I've been to more cities in Italy than in the United States.
Oh, we have to.
That's easily the case for us. In fact, like we lived at the beach in Delaware before we moved to Italy. So like we never, like we always were like, we live where people vacation. So we're
not leaving.
Like,
yeah.
No, like the only time we would leave would be to like catch a Yankees game. mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it makes sense. But I mean, to answer your question, I think I have so many favorites in Italy, you know, some regions for one thing and then others for the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I think I'm torn between the two polar opposites, which is either Capri and Milan.
Oh, yeah. Did you do Milan Fashion Week, so that makes sense.
Yeah, that was probably an amazing experience all in itself.
It was, and the experience was just sort of a whirlwind because it was short, you know, with being an American and the visa situation, the experience was, you know, as short and legal as it could be. But yeah, it was definitely a fast-paced moment or beat in my experience there.
So Italy has definitely like for sure played a role, I would say, right down to your name as far as like your business. Tell us a little bit more about like being a travel stylist and what that looks like and turning that, like going from a full-time job into having that as your own business.
Scary.
I believe it. Talk about that fear a little bit. That's it's always good to hear these stories, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, I think sometimes it's glamorized. You know, you quit your job, you start your business, and you're successful as soon as possible, but not really that way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm told that, you know, you don't feel scared or nervous or sometimes terrified or questioning yourself. You're kind of doing it wrong.
Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna go with that.
Totally agree with that.
There's definitely some truth in that. You know, it's about not being comfortable. When you're comfortable, obviously, you're not scared.
Yeah.
You know, you're not taking chances when you're comfortable. But when you're like, uh-oh, is this my right move or not? Like, that's probably the case. You know, you lean into those kinds of things.
Yes. I'm learning to do that. And what I learned, because all the advice that I'm saying are things that I am still learning myself and going through firsthand. But what I highly recommend to anyone is to invest in working with either a business or a life coach in your realm or industry. It could save you years and money and just so much experience that they pave the way a little bit for you.
Absolutely. We talk about that all the time because we obviously, like as wellness coaches, like the answers are on the internet, right? Like you can find the answers of how to do everything on the internet, but then it's like how you take that information and apply it to your life, like where having a coach, like a coach comes in there and is critical because it helps you take that information and apply it. So even us, when we started our business, like we absolutely invested in a business coach. Because we could have done it ourselves, but I probably still would be trying to figure it out where we fast-tracked that progress within 3 months. We went from idea to having 5 clients, which is amazing.
That's incredible. Wow.
And that's like the power of having a coach. I love that you just said that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah.
The time that you can save, like to me, that's where it's at, you know? To be able to speed everything up. And like you mentioned it, you know, someone else has done it. So like learn from them. And it's a wonderful way to kind of build whatever it is that you're trying to do, you know, whether it's your business, something to do with yourself, it's just an amazing way to speed up the process.
And I would say too, and Amy, I'm not sure if you have experienced this, but becoming an entrepreneur is like one of the biggest healing processes as far as like you really dig into your own mindset and your own beliefs about money, about what you're capable of, about growth, about your own vulnerability and what triggers you and self-awareness. And like you would never know that from the outside looking in until you're in it trying to run your own business.
100%. I completely agree, you know, kind of listening to what makes me happy and can, you know, I make an income or can I make this a business for me?
Absolutely. And I think when you have that desire on your heart, when it's something that you know you can help people and you know it's something that you're so passionate about, like it's not a coincidence that you have that feeling. Like, I don't believe in coincidences. I believe that you have the ability to like co-create your life with the universe or with God or with whatever other higher power you believe in.
Yes.
Like you can truly manifest what it is that you want your life to be like.
Completely.
And I saw something, one of your thoughts, one of your ideas, and I loved it. And it is how it's important to live your life according to your own blueprint. I think that's fantastic.
Thank you.
Tell everybody what that means.
I think this is so important. And with the technology that we have today, and if there was one small thing that came, positive thing that came out of the past 2 to 3 years, I think it's this call for a work from home lifestyle or remote lifestyle.
Totally.
Yeah, so it really allows us to take advantage of this kind of new style of working. But I think, you know, sometimes we hold ourselves back in kind of pursuing what we really want to. And I think it really goes back to how we were raised and, you know, the expectations of maybe, you know, our society, especially in the US or even your parents.
Absolutely.
And you feel maybe even guilty, you know, that your, I guess you could say, tape measure of a ruler of success is completely different than maybe that of your parents or, you know, your sibling that you're super close with. So I think we kind of have this feeling of guilt to kind of do what we really want to do. And I think, Jen, you just mentioned this, where when you are an entrepreneur and you kind of put both feet in and go for it, you kind of heal parts of yourself, you know, that you didn't know, you know, that you needed to.
Absolutely. Because, I mean, we are so programmed by society and conditioned by the belief that, you know, for our generation, because I think we're the same age, Amy, like that we graduated high school in 2007, starting college around that same time when it was like the economy was in shambles in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like you go to college, you get a job, like you get married, you have a baby, you buy a house somewhere in there. Like it was this trajectory that was laid out for us. And I was talking with somebody who was like, I didn't even know that I could question that.
Wow.
Like, I didn't know. It's somebody who was older than we are. And they were like, I never knew that I could question that. Like, I just did it. Like, I just did that because that's how programmed it is into our mind. So for us who are chasing our dreams and really taking that leap, it might seem like we're not the normal ones, you know? But like, what if we are the normal ones? Because we are doing what feels good to us and everybody else is not, you know?
Yeah.
So it's all kind of like reframing the way that we look at it and making decisions not from a place of fear and making decisions from a place of power. And I love that you're doing that and that you're, you know, starting your own business. And I love the mission behind it to help people feel amazing in their body. And it's awesome. And I can't wait to see how Lemons and Labels continues to expand and grow.
Yes. Thank you. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much.
So luck and manifestation. Jen and I talk a lot about manifestation. And I'm curious what role, if any, that has played in you starting the business or your life in general.
So I'm newer to manifestation.
By newer, what do you mean newer? Like newer. Last month, last year?
I want to say around the time that Jen had a live on manifestation.
Yeah, with Maggie.
Yes.
Shout out, yes. Maggie.
Yes,
yeah, that was in like the fall. So yeah, so within like the past 6 months, I would say.
Yes. So that I think opened a whole new door for me. And I love that old and sort of corny quote from miracles or fate happen when opportunity meets preparation?
I love that.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that, but I love that.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So true. It is so true.
Yeah. And, you know, your mindset or, you know, that inner dialogue is, you know, it really gets you going, you know, to be prepared. And I mean, just learning with manifestation, how that affects your inner dialogue or kind of just changes that inner dialogue that I didn't even really know for a while that was there, or, you know, that negative self-talk or that little voice, you know, manifestation, I think really changes that inner dialogue that you have with yourself. And if it doesn't put you on directly on your path to your goals, it just makes more of a positive impact on your self-talk. So I think, you know, as someone who's physically in Connecticut and a lot of my dreams that I'm manifesting are in a completely different country in Italy, you know, I'm doing that work, you know, that preparation so that when I'm there, you know, maybe fate will kind of take my hand.
Absolutely. Like you're co-creating exactly what you want.
Yes.
Meaning you're doing the steps that you need to do to put yourself in the position where you want to be while also leaving space for the universe to take action, which I think is so important because a lot of people believe that manifestation is like a woo-woo, like crossing our fingers and wanting a Tesla to appear in the driveway. When really manifestation is getting really clear as to what your dreams are, what it is that you desire, and then taking action to make that happen. Like you can manifest doing the laundry. You know what I mean? Like if I know I need to do the laundry and then I get up and do the laundry, I manifested that. So obviously a simple like nonsense example, but the idea here is like, if you're manifesting that you want a life in Italy, it's not going to happen for you if you're just sitting there crossing your fingers and then like putting a down payment down on a house. Or, you know what I mean? Like doing things that are saying the opposite of what it is that you want.
Yeah, for sure. You definitely got to make it happen. And, you know, the way I kind of see this is opportunity comes for everyone, but you have to be ready to pounce on those opportunities. And if you're not, they pass you by. You might not even know something was an opportunity if you're not putting yourself in a position to take advantage of it. And that's where manifestation is huge, in my opinion.
Completely agree.
So as you're manifesting life in Italy and working as a travel stylist, particularly with people who want to come to Italy, one of your goals is to help your clients like not just look good in their clothes, but feel good in their body. And that's something I work a lot on with my one-on-one clients specifically is not waiting until your body is a certain way to buy clothes that make you feel good. And to also not keep clothes that are no longer serving you in the sense that like the clothes are meant to fit your body, not the other way around.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I'm so guilty of this myself.
Same. And it's definitely, again, it's a healing process and it changes every day. But like, I just want to promote that message that like, you don't need to wait until you're a goal weight or until you have XYZ to wear the thing that makes you feel good.
Absolutely. And I mean, beauty or feeling great is not linked to a specific size.
Exactly. Man, that's great stuff right there.
I mean, it's true. And of course, like you said, Jen, I feel exactly what you were saying. It does take a lot of healing and, you know, changing that mindset that you have for yourself. You know, you make clothes to fit you, not the other way around. You don't shop for a wedding dress and say, okay, now I need to lose 10 pounds. No, you get the dress to fit you at whatever size you are. I mean,
exactly.
Of course, if you're healthy and happy and all of that, of course, but size, you know, it doesn't matter. Shape doesn't matter. You are you without sounding, you know, condescending or patronizing. It's really true. You are extremely unique. There's no one else that, you know, looks like you, that is you.
Exactly. It's like you're worthy where you are now of looking good. And if you think that by losing 10 pounds is going to like make you feel good, it might if you're not healthy at the weight that you're at. Like if we're looking at this from a health perspective, then for sure. But if we're looking at this as like, well, I'll be more confident or I'll be happier or I'll wait to do this, that is more of a mindset piece than a weight loss strategy.
For sure. Chances are that last 10 pounds is just not going to put you in position to, it's not going to do what you think it's going to do. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. So just from a personal standpoint and being someone in fashion, you know, who worked with backstage, you know, dressing models for shoots. And I even get asked, oh, how do you stay, you know, thin when you're in Italy? And just growing up with in the decade that we were in, growing up with America's Next Top Model and Paris Hilton and low-rise jeans.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, to be even called thin, you know, when it first happened, when, you know, you actually leave the town you grew up in, it's kind of, it brings a whole new perspective. And that's when you realize that, you know, beauty is, there's no one singular form of beauty. And I think that's something that we, especially as women, need to embrace. You know, when it comes to dressing yourself, there's no one size fits all. And that's important to remember.
Yeah. I'm super curious about this. Like, this question just kind of popped into my head. And how often are you working with a client where they kind of feel a bit negative in the way they've been looking in their clothes? And how often are you able to kind of spark that confidence by putting them in something that they never would have dreamed about wearing, like completely the opposite of what their current style is?
Wow, that's such a powerful question. And I think it happens often, not just with me personally, but when I first work with a client, I like to, you know, have the initial conversation and needs and all of that. But we kind of dive deep into your personal style and how you feel in the clothes that you wear. And one of the questions I ask is, when was the time when you felt most beautiful?
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. And then after they give me the scenario, I ask, do you remember what you were wearing? And then I work from there. And I say, you know, is this a time maybe when you felt most like yourself? If not, what were you wearing then? And I mirror that. So maybe it was a time when they were wearing a gown to, you know, a wedding, you know, and of course, you can't wear that every day. I mean, it would be amazing if that's your lifestyle. But I mirror that sort of style and, you know, if it's the cut or vibe.
Do people always remember what they were wearing during their happiest time? Or is that something they have to think about? Because I'm trying to figure, you know, I've had lots of happy times, but I'm not sure I always remember what I'm wearing.
I feel like bikini is what comes to mind. I'm like, my happiest, it's like me in a bikini on the beach.
On the beach, yeah.
Yes. And that's empowering. Yeah. Or I mean, for men, I would say, when did you feel, I mean, for women, I ask, when did you feel most beautiful, you know, with yourself? Mm-hmm. For men, you know, when did you feel most confident?
That's amazing you just said that. Because in my head, I'm thinking like, beautiful. No, confident. Confidence, how I, what I think about when I think of beauty, you know, where,
yes,
where you just kind of feel like, you know what? I'm all right,
I
right
look
now.
Fine,
right? Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yes. I mean, and of course, you know, men can feel, you know, beautiful and women can feel confident, empowered. There's no, you know, one or the other. But a lot of the time, yes, you know, they remember what they were wearing.
Wow, that's interesting. Do you think confidence and beauty kind of go hand in hand, or can you feel incredibly confident and not necessarily beautiful at the same time?
I think they go hand in hand. I think when your mindset, when you feel confident inside and you love yourself, I think that makes a world of difference. I think that's what, you know, makes you even more beautiful or sexy, or it just has such an effect on how others view you as well.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I do think it's interesting how you said so many people like do remember the clothes that they were wearing, because that's something, a theme that I noticed is when we have a client who wants to lose weight and they're holding on to a clothing item, it's they remember how they felt in the pair of jeans from college, for example. And that is like the emotion that they want to get back to. So it's like really digging into, is it that you want to lose 10 pounds to fit into those jeans again? Or is it that you want to feel the way that you felt when you were wearing those jeans? Because the other thing that, again, as women, and this is the society that we have grown up in, is like really recognizing that our bodies change. And me as a 33-year-old woman, my body has changed so much since I fit into those jeans from college. Like, I probably shouldn't fit into them now, you know?
Like, I mean, if you're a healthy woman at 33 and, you know, myself at 30, we should not fit into jeans that fit us in college. No.
Because our bodies have shifted with hormones, with age, and that's normal. And I think through normalizing body changes and normalizing that you can feel good in the clothes that you're wearing at any stage is part of that healing process for us as a female society.
I completely agree. And it's hard when you look to the media. I think now it's a little bit better than when we were growing up.
Definitely.
Right. But it's, you know, we see the hint of, what was it, like low-rise jeans, I think, were on the runway last season.
Oh, I'm like, please, no.
We had a trigger. No. Absolutely not.
Like, we've been there and we've done that. Like, let's, like high-waisted all the way.
Yes, please. And that's another thing I feel like I have to say is when a trend comes out, trends are, sometimes they have a short lifespan, you know, and we'll see them again in another 5 to 10 years or whatever it is.
The cycle.
Which actually like makes me think, and Amy, we didn't jot this in our notes ahead of time, but we are currently, so we're moving, we're leaving Rome, we're moving to the sea. This isn't like public on Instagram yet, but I'm sure it will be by the time this episode comes out.
Oh my God, the sea.
Yeah, so we're moving to Puglia. And because of that, I'm in the process of, we both are in the process of clearing out our wardrobes, essentially like getting rid of, like for me, I'm getting rid of clothing that I wore as a professional since we're moving into our business full time, which is basically most of my wardrobe aside from my sporting clothes. And then James, like his more formal, like dinner, not even formal, I would say more like casual clothing. Same thing. It's clothing that he doesn't wear that often, but he's had for like 6 years. So we're clearing, we're basically removing, it's like shedding skin. Do you know what I mean? Like we're shedding layers as we're really stepping into this version of ourselves that feels so aligned with what we want to do in the future. Now, that being said, I have a goal, and I just recorded recently an episode called Healthy Girl Summer, like habits I'm adopting, like a solo episode.
Awesome.
And I talked in there about having a capsule wardrobe. Like that is something I now want to build. So I'm curious about what your thoughts are on like a capsule wardrobe versus like more of the like fun seasonal pieces, I guess you could say, or trendy pieces.
Let's start here first. I know, just for clarification purposes, I know, but Amy, tell us, what is a capsule wardrobe?
Okay, that's a good idea.
So it sounds like a wardrobe that you would like just for the season, right? It's a very limited edition.
Something that's timeless is what I would say.
I love that.
I told you, I'm the fashion guy here, you know?
Well, you have a capsule wardrobe too.
I would like one. Yeah, sure.
I think this is amazing. And I think it's just meeting more people in the, I guess, Rome expat community, or just Italy expat community, where a lot of, you know, specifically women kind of live in Italy for, you know, those 3 months or maybe a summer and would need sort of a capsule wardrobe. So I think this is kind of genius. But I think it's such a great idea. I mean, a capsule wardrobe for living in Puglia by the sea. Oh my gosh. I mean, there's just so many things you can do, from bathing suits to just linens.
That's what I was thinking. Like I just ordered, now granted they're black, but I did just order like a pair of linen pants from Abercrombie, and like my little millennial heart was fluttering as like my first Abercrombie order arrived.
They're back. They're back, Abercrombie.
They're so back.
Listen, I bought a couple of like swimsuits from there, and I never wore Abercrombie like ever, really. Okay.
And I did. I was straight up like the collar popper, double polo. Like,
yeah.
Not my style. Never my style. But, you know, I've developed into a person, an individual that does not want to put clothing on my body unless it is stretchy. And that goes with my swimsuits, too. And I found these like amazing swimsuits. They're like stretchy and like super comfortable and athletic. And I was like in love with them. I actually put two more in the cart today, like this morning.
I think too, it comes down to like, they're more than like, in the past, both James and I have been more like fast fashion shoppers, in the sense like we'd buy a bunch of like super cheap swimsuits, wear them for a season, and then we're done with them.
Yeah.
Which is like probably might still be the case here because we just are at the beach so much in the summer. But I think the way that James and I have been approaching style lately is, and again, thinking like forward with what we would like to create with our wardrobe, is choosing pieces not for the price, but for the quality.
Right.
So what I mean is like, instead of shopping like we're still in college, because I feel like I still kind of had that college mentality for a while, like where I'm on a budget and I need to buy something only if it's on sale. Like I can only buy a clothing item if it's on sale, to choosing something that is going to, and then squeezing my body into that item. So coming back to that same idea, where regardless of if it fit just right or not, if it was like a cheap price, and that was shopping like from a place of lack. Whereas when I choose a clothing item that fits my body really well, that's of like a really nice material that I just feel so good in, that to me is worth spending a little bit extra money on, which I'm grateful for that, the ability to do that. But because it serves me mentally is, and not just like as the aesthetic, if that makes sense.
It does. And when you said you're more of a fast fashion shopper, and I think I may have a very unpopular opinion about my very unpopular, I think, opinion is that we try to be, you know, sustainable, but not all of us can afford a sustainable piece, you know, and spend hundreds or sometimes thousands of dollars on a piece of clothing. So if you are shopping, and I mean, it depends on what company too, if it is slightly fast fashion or even a Mango or a Zara, if you are going to keep that item for, you know, a couple years, or, you know, just take care of it and not have just a one or two use and throw it away, I think that is a form of sustainability too, you know, because you're not buying a million different pieces and throwing them out after a single use. So I think if we, that's how I think. And I have some pieces from even Forever 21 since college, and I still get compliments when I wear it out today.
Yeah. My jean jacket is from Old Navy in, I want to say it's like 10 years old. Like I'm pretty sure I bought it right after college, like right around that time from like the outlets. But it's, that still fits because it's just one of those pieces that lasts, but it was like $15. Like I think that's the other thing too. And I see this with you, Amy, and what you post on Instagram is you make fashion accessible.
Yes.
Which I think is so huge. I think it feels inaccessible to a lot of people because they think you have to be wearing like the Versace or like the Gucci in order to be fashionable. And that's not the case, I think.
I agree. And thank you for that. I mean, just, I had a follower who is a dear friend, and, you know, he said, how do you afford all of this, these new clothes every time you post? And he was referring to something that I had posted earlier that day. And it was actually pieces I've had since, some pieces even since high school, you know? So I think if you have someone, a professional or a stylist, even, you know, a friend, you know, that you're traveling with for the summer, that can look at an outfit in a new way. It's sort of a little refresh. But the pieces that you already have can look completely different.
Before I get to my favorite and last question, I want to go ahead and add something here. And Jen was just talking about not feeling fashionable. And I was thinking earlier when we were talking about confidence and beauty. And I always, and she will tell you, she will say it's true, I always think Jen is beautiful. I always tell Jen that she's beautiful. But when yeah, of course. But when I think of, honestly, when I think of the times that I kind of think she's the most beautiful, it's when she thinks she's beautiful, when she feels beautiful. And that confidence, when someone exudes that confidence, that is beautiful. And it doesn't really matter what you're wearing, you know, in that sense, because that joy just kind of radiates off of people and it's magnetic. It draws you into it. And you just want to be part of that.
Yeah. That positive energy. You can feel it. That's so beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Thanks, James. That was sweet.
Guys, Restoring My Faith. That's a podcast for another day.
Yes.
But I completely agree. You know, you don't have to. Fashion isn't tied to, like you said, Jen, you know, having something super like Versace expensive. And it doesn't have to be the latest trends, which, it, you know, God forbid, low-rise jeans. But it's how you feel and what you're wearing. I mean, as long as, you know, you're healthy and, you know, take care of yourself, I think you'll look amazing with that confidence alone.
For sure. Absolutely.
Absolutely. James, I know we've been talking about this last question that we've had planned for like days now. So James, I'm going to let you ask this because I know you're like absolutely tickled about it. So.
Okay. So Jen booked us a dinner in Olive Grove in Tuscany. Okay. And it's kind of like it'll be our 5th year anniversary coming up here soon. So it's kind of like for that, even though it's after that. And we want to look like super fly at this fancy dinner in the Olive Grove. It's outside, you know, and one of those like long table pictures that you see in Italy, you know, where like table after table, super long, that kind of thing. Hopefully I did a good job describing that. But anyway, how would you dress us for this dinner? I'm dying to know.
And actually, we like are going to take notes on this because we really do need outfits for this event. It's been a long time with like the pandemic and, you know, just we haven't had to like truly dress up in a few years. So.
Right. I mean, this sounds incredible. And congratulations, you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is, I mean, just personally a dream. Dinner under the olive trees, cue Diane Lane, but of course you guys are going to have a completely different outfit. But usually with a client, we have a couple meetings and we talk about, you know, their personal style, their wants and all of that. So if I can just ask you guys, is there anything that you wouldn't wear or that you're, for example, yesterday a client said, I would never wear polka dots, you know, or absolutely not.
There is no color or pattern that is off limits for this body.
Oh my God.
Now, I will say that my body is a bit of a strange shape. You know, I'm a bit muscular and I sometimes have a really hard time finding things that fit because my waist is kind of smaller than what my legs are, for example. So I do struggle with that. So like, as long as it fits well, I'm cool.
And for me, I would say my style's pretty like chill, like beach boho vibe, but I typically don't wear heels. Like I'm more comfortable in like my favorite summer shoes are like these like brown leather, like lace up gladiator sandals.
Well, I mean, just before, because I have ideas for both of you guys, heels, please. For anyone traveling to Italy, don't even waste the space in your suitcase. Please, please. Unless you're going to a wedding where you know for a fact you will not be like sinking in the grass, you do not need them. And if you need to wear them for a wedding, just get a little bit of a thicker lower heel, like a little kitten heel, but thicker.
Yeah, don't waste the luggage. Yeah, I can confidently say in my 5 years here, the only time I've worn heels and it was a chunky heel was to a wedding. And that's it because it's just you, it's like you're asking to like sprain your ankle
for trouble.
Or yeah. Like fall or ruin your, you know, beautiful pair of heels with just the way the cobblestones, the sidewalks are. Like it's just not necessary.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. So, Jen, when I have like a little Pinterest board that I want to send you guys after for like a Tuscan feel, you said it's dinner.
Yes, it starts at 7 in, it's in June. So I imagine it'll be like as the sun is starting to set.
Right. I love a longer dress, sort of a midi or a maxi. It just sounds like, you know, maybe picnic style tables, you said. So I think just that seating, you know, you have a little bit more fabric with something shorter, you might not feel as comfortable. And as the sun goes down, you know, you might feel a little bit warmer on your legs if you're in the grass. Some people are a little bit, you know, they don't want to feel itchy or any any sort of irritation, you have like a little more, I guess, coverage. You can also do like a pant romper.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a romper fan for what it's worth. I am. I think it's a great look.
James. I love a jumpsuit.
Those are, you know, so in, and, you know, one of the, like, a jewel tone color is really popular, like a yellow or like a blue. And I mean, just for, and of course, like as a client, we can talk about it on like your price point, but are you familiar with Girl Meets Glam, like Julia B? She has amazing dresses and rompers and all of that. But I know you guys are in Rome. So, I mean, at Coin or Mango has an amazing live in it. So I think you can find something really amazing there.
You know, I feel like I used to follow her on Instagram, but I haven't in years. So I'm going to check it out.
Also, Anthropology is really nice. And you know what has a really beautiful shape? Reformation has such lovely sleeves. So it gives you a nice shape.
Great.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if they can ship in Italy, but we can.
I think Anthropology does for sure. There's like a European one, so I'm going to check it out. And it sounds like something that would be an investment piece, which is what I'm looking for, you know, like to build that capsule wardrobe.
Yes, for the summer. I mean, it would be perfect. But in terms of shoes, for sandals, and I live in like sandals or sneakers really in Italy. So I love Dolce Vita for kind of a sandal, either a slip-on platform and maybe like a nude, a tan is really nice. Also Madewell, maybe another investment.
Yes.
But also Amazon. I bought mine for this past summer on Amazon and they were lightweight.
Okay.
Any color, and they were really inexpensive.
Yay, that's awesome. Definitely going to check it out. I'll be sending you what I'm thinking.
Yes, for sure. I mean, I love this. So, but okay, for it's so fun, really.
Now for the fun part. Me.
Yes, okay.
You would be, I like honestly feel so lucky with James because he truly, if I'm going to pick somebody to go shopping with, I'm going to pick James. He's not like your average or stereotypical, like, I'm just going to sit in the middle of the mall while you go shop. Like, he is with me, like, helping me pick out pieces. Like, you should try this. Like, no, that's not your color. Like, he's the best.
I'm involved, yes.
Oh, that's such a compliment. Wow, I'm impressed. But so then I feel like you would know. So let me, I'm thinking, though, for like a button-down linen, and I saw one in a photo the other day of like a navy linen button-down. And then I love this look of like the trouser. It could be, I'm not sure if you're into like a white trouser, like, you know, a linen, like a lined linen, of course, or kind of like the traditional, like a tan, or like a camo green, like in a, like a tapered chino.
Mm-hmm.
Like with like that little, like your ankle, like is like a little bit, like pegged a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I feel like that's kind of coming, like a loose fit trouser is really in for the guys. I mean, from that guy.
Yeah. I love it.
I was going to say, not like Justin Bieber at the Grammy style, a little bit more fitted than that, or that baggy.
No, not like the full on harem band. But that guy, oh gosh, I can't remember, from that Netflix like 300 day movie where he's always in like a really great fitted trouser. I forget his name. But then I always love a white sneaker.
Oh, we'll have to look it up.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I've got some of those.
He has the white Stan Smiths.
Do I get to wear a jacket, like a little blazer action or anything, or no blazer jacket?
I mean, a blazer is nice for sure. I also like, do you have any like knits? I mean, like a knit could be kind of cool with the trouser.
No.
Like a crew neck knit. I'm going to send you this idea I have for you after, which could be kind of trendy. But of course, a blazer and you like cuff the sleeves a little bit looks really nice too.
You don't have any knits.
Yeah. But Jen, before I forget, I mean, I always travel with a scarf, like a summer scarf.
Oh, okay. Okay. You're piquing my interest here.
You know, copo di aria. You don't want to catch any cold at all. And of course, I am a sucker for a jean jacket. It's, I think, like a legacy piece. It'll never go out of style. And it's a good texture to add into an outfit.
You don't want to catch it.
Yes, please. I'm here for it.
Okay, yay. I'm going to start looking for dresses and I'm going to send them to you. And if you are listening and you loved this, you can, I'll link Amy's Instagram handle in the show notes so you can find her there. And her website will be launching right around the time that this episode is coming out, which will be lemonsandlabels.com.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Which we will also link that in the show notes. And Amy, is there anything else that you would like to add or share for how our listeners can connect with you?
I think that's it. You can reach out to me on lemonsandlabels_ on Instagram. If you have any questions or interested in a package or would like to do something kind of curated or just have a question on what to wear if you're going out, I'm all ears.
Amy, you are absolutely awesome. Like, this was a lot of fun. I love this. Yes. Great conversation.
Yeah, it was. It was great. Thank you so much. I like already am like, okay, go to Anthropology after this episode, see what I can find. And we loved having you. And we, you know, we'll see you when you come to Italy next.
Thank you so much. Yes, maybe on the seaside. Oh, yeah.
Perfect.
For sure.
All right, everyone, thank you for tuning in, and we will catch you next week.
Have a good one.